Arthur Webb, you're directing C21 Theatre Company's production of The Merchant of Venice. It's about to tour around bits of Northern Ireland and then it's going to have a week in the Grand Opera House. Tell us, why did you decide on this particular Shakespeare play? Why put it on now?
Well, it's the third Shakespeare I've done. I did Romeo and Juliet 2 years ago, The Dream last year. And I asked teachers in schools, what's the most popular text? They kept saying Macbeth, Macbeth, but they've seen so many videos and there have been so many productions. The next one they said was The Merchant, so we thought, let's go with The Merchant.
There's a lot of contemporary issues in The Merchant of Venice. As from my vague recollection from school, I mean, there's stuff about people being up to their necks in debt that they can't repay. There's stuff about this kind of lust for beauty and the contest for beauty as well. There's nearly a format that you could sell to TV programmes. All kinds of issues that resonate today.
The two main themes that we're sort of working is love and hate. It's as simple as that. But the love and hate are not simple. The love that Portia has for Bassanio is amazing, yet she has to go through this will that her father left her to find all these suitors who are coming in from every part of the world to marry her. And Bassanio has no money, so he has to get money to be a relevant suitor. But is he in love with her? Or is he just an opportunist, you know, who thinks this is a good buy-in, you know, and that's, there's a weird kind of relationship there in terms of the love, you know. Then there's another passionate love between Jessica and Lorenzo. She runs away with a Christian, but the hate aspect is so contemporary. I mean, yeah, exactly as you said, he actually uses the word credit. See if I can find some credit because I've no money to get. And so the friendship between Bassanio and Antonio is strange as well. But the hate that Antonio has for a Jew, you know, I think honestly, if this play was written today by a contemporary writer, they'd be rioting outside the theatre.
I mean, there's quite a...
The anti-Semitic thing is so nasty. You know, spitting at each other and calling them Jew. And I think the judge, even in the court, is biased. You know, he calls them Jew and has a little confidential sort of chat with Antonio before Shylock comes in. What judge would do that, you know, if he wasn't
so
biased?
So lots of questions about love and hate and justice and mercy.
Things
going through it as well. Also, women kind of taking on men's roles and actually disguising themselves, if you don't want to give away the spoiler to an ancient play. But actually taking on those roles. And that was something, you're setting it in the 1920s, which was a time in America, actually, post-World War I, when actually women were starting in the West to be more comfortable
assert themselves, and to do it in theatre wise. Yes, I thought about where I didn't want to do it to totally contemporary because the whole anti-Semitic thing is still strong in the world, but where could I set it that actually had a meaning and intentions? And I thought, well, yes, exactly as you said, post World War One, people before that were suppressed, depressed, anxious, worried, sad, and then suddenly they go wild, they go mental, quite. But also I think there's the whole Gatsby kind of new entrepreneur, you know, the American dream, and people are thinking, yeah, we can go wild, but there's underneath, there's that anger, a serious anger, and they want revenge for us what has happened. So the whole revenge theme and the hate theme, you know, where Shylock is willing to take his knife and stick it in open court in Antonio's heart, you know, that probably, I think, is there underlying the 20s.
And the roaring 20s suddenly become the...
shocking 20s.
Shocking 20s, the 2000s.
But also roaring because there's a lot of frivolous costume and I want the girls to be very feminine and very, you know, childish and silly about their men folk and whatever. And then when it comes to court, when they are men, I want that contrast to be as strong as possible when they are... I mean, in Shakespeare's time, any simple disguise was accepted. Nowadays, we're looking for a lot more realism. So I put them in men men suits, they've got moustaches, they've got wigs, you know, and they're speaking in deeper voices, but we know it's everybody but Bassanio knows it's Portia.
So this could actually be comedy.
Well, it's called a comedy, there's the other thing as well. I mean, Shakespeare calls it a comedy, and yet reading it so many times you think, where's the comedy? So I've actually managed to bring bits of comedy without being slapstick, you know.
Why does Shakespeare continue to be so strong? I mean, because it's much of the language is quite inaccessible sometimes, if you're coming to it for the first time. But why does Shakespeare still work at theatre? Why are you
It's the themes. It's the characters. The characters and the stories. I mean, the story in The Merchant could still be happening today, as in any other play. The characters are so strong, and you can identify qualities of each of those characters with people today. So it's there, it's all there. And the language, somehow, there's not a huge amount of blank verse and iambic pentameter in The Merchant. A lot of it is prose, old Shylock's is, and lots of other bits are. So it actually, the rhythms are much more contemporary as well. And I've done a little bit of juxtaposing and taken a half line here and a half line there, or repeated a line, or given somebody else's line. And that works as well.
So technically, as Les Dawson would say, it's all the... more of my bias, but it's all the right notes, but not necessarily the right order.
That's right.
So yes. It is, well, I'm
going for narrative, as we have done the last two productions. We're sort of thinking that mostly it'll be school audiences, mm-hmm. but we're hoping for lots more bigger audiences. But the school audience, I think it's a GCSE text. They need mm-hmm. to know, what is this about? It needs to see, they need to hear it and see it and enjoy it. For
and
some of these people
to jump off the stage into their heads.
Yeah,
their
because for some of them, I would imagine, it's not only the first Shakespeare, it's the first time they've been in the theatre. So it has to captivate them, and hopefully we've done that. We do a sort of a dumb show at the beginning, and we use Scott Joplin music the whole way through, which is nice and bubbly. And the dumb show at the beginning sort of sets the context of the relationships. We see the spitting and the Rialto. We actually see Portia's father before he dies. And we see, you know, Jessica going off to the synagogue, but also meeting Lorenzo secretly. And so we were trying to establish a lot of the story initially. And then it only lasts an hour and 10, 12 minutes. And without an interval. So hopefully it holds the whole way through. And the way we've juxtaposed the scenes, there's a bit of comedy and there's a bit of serious. And then the courtroom scene is the big climax, you know, of about 15 minutes, which is powerful.
So if people want to find out more, if they look up C21 Theatre Company, it's on your website. It starts in Ballymena, isn't it?
Starts in the Braid, Monday morning, 10:30. And after that, there's 2 weeks of touring all around the theatres. They're going to Strool, Riverside, few schools, quite a few venues. And then, into the Baby Grand on the 20th.
All the best for the run.
Thank you very much, Alan. Cheers.